Northbrook is the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voice, a tour presented by Allstate. BroCon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Broadcast live from Pinstripes, Northbrook, Wednesday, a week from today, 3 to 7 p.m. Join us for conversation. And it says here, sophisticated fun.
What does that mean?
I have no idea what that means. Michael Steele is on the Super Celebrity Hotline, and I'm sure he's known me long enough to know that he has no idea what that means either. There will be bocce, though, and bowling.
Bocce ball? Do you play bocce ball, Michael?
I have. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But you have to have a glass of wine in your hand, right?
You have to have a glass of wine in your hand, and yeah, shorts on.
By the way, if you come out to this event, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the NFL draft. Ooh. You'll get to get inside the Auditorium Theater for the draft. That is such a fun event here in Chicago.
Cool.
That is cool.
WGN Radio. That'll be fun.
Yes. Could that even be better? I don't think so. WGNRadio.com has all the details. And it's all brought to you by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. All right, Michael, what have you done to me? All right, we just had Cokie Roberts on. Now, Cokie Roberts,
she's amazing.
That's my girl. I love Cokie.
Oh, she's awesome. She's awesome. But you know, she's a steady hand in the journalism world.
Yeah.
Who's seen so many things. She grew up in Louisiana politics, so by the time she was 16, she'd seen everything she needed to know to be able to survive, and has been a very, very straight shooter, right, for ABC News and whoever else she's worked for throughout the time. And she said to me, she goes, "Look, this is Donald Trump. He's going to win the primary. He's probably going to get 8 out of the 10 I saw earlier today. 8 out of the 10 scenarios that are left, that are available, essentially, have Donald Trump surpassing that 1237 magic number."
Sure, absolutely. So but I told you that for the last 2 months.
I know. But it's not that I didn't believe you.
Yes, you didn't believe me.
And this isn't some sort of a racist something or another. This is, I'm just telling you, because in this town it always turns into that. I wanted not to believe. You know, I was.
I know you did.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Republicans and Americans and Democrats also wanted not to believe, because I think Democrats who believe right now that, oh, this is great. I can't wait for Hillary to take him on. Have no idea how dangerous he will be to her.
He will be very dangerous to her campaign. He is, as I've said many times on your program, an asymmetrical player playing a conventional warfare environment. And so Hillary's going to come to the table and run a typical presidential campaign, which you would do, but, you know, if she thinks that, you know, just kind of going at Donald Trump and calling out his record on this and playing back videotapes of what he said here or did there, he's going to do it. I just warn him, be prepared. It just won't play out that way.
Prevent defense. It prevents you from winning.
That's it.
Talk about the role.
Very much so.
Michael, Paul Manafort, you were talking about him last time you were on with us, that he was just, I think he was just picked up when you spoke with us last week. And the role he's going to play and the direction he's going to take this campaign, you've already seen Trump last night call Cruz instead of lying Cruz, or talk him about him in a sneering way, said Senator Cruz and Governor Kasich. And they're talking about a new way to approach the delegates and try to win some of those superdelegates over. Is he going to have a real impact on this campaign? And do you think that this is going to last? Can he control this candidate?
I think he's already having an impact. I think his presence has made the difference so far since Wisconsin, where he's been able to come in and make the changes necessary to establish the pecking order of things. He now has direct access to the candidate, to the presidential candidate. He doesn't have to go through a campaign manager. He doesn't have to go through other surrogates. That's a big, big get for him. A lot of times, particularly when you have campaigns that have been isolated the way this campaign has been relative to, you know, personnel. I mean, it's only been a shop of like 3 to 5 people who've run this campaign up to this point. To have someone coming from the outside is a very difficult thing. And you've heard the story, Dan, about, inside strife is all that stuff is starting to begin. Well, the reality of it is Manafort is making a difference, and he's got the candidate sounding like a presidential candidate and coming off credibly. I mean, I think you're right. Last night was one of those corners that Trump needed to turn to reestablish and rebrand his argument for the presidency. And it starts by something so silly and simple as saying Senator Ted Cruz as opposed to lying Ted.
He did say, though, I always win. He did say that,
It still
too.
Comes out. Yeah. It still comes out.
I mean,
But again, that's what, you know, can you deny? I mean,
no.
You know, but for, yeah, he's got a couple of losses. There's no doubt about that. But the guy does win, and that's what people like about him. That's the appeal, is that even when he's down, you know, remember what people were saying 2 weeks ago after Wisconsin, it's over, it's done, this is just devastating, this is, you know, put the campaign on life support and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, sure, let's see how we do when we get to New York.
Well, you know? But the people, but, all right, but hey, listen, you know this, that what they were doing there, that was primarily the Cruz campaign. As a matter of fact, here's Cruz. Listen to this. This is Cruz from last night.
The math is virtually impossible for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not getting to 1237. Nobody's getting to 1237. The reason Donald's so scared is the last 3 weeks, and in particular the win in Wisconsin, put the nail in the coffin and made clear Donald doesn't get to 1237. He knows that, which means this race is headed to Cleveland. It's headed to a contested convention.
It's absolutely not true, and that's what. And when they
that
left Wisconsin, it was
not true.
It was not true when they left Wisconsin. It is not true today. And
no.
the reality is that you have at this moment. This is that all Ted Cruz has is hope. Right, he's got to go sell hope that the Never Trump people will.
He doesn't even have that at this point, because what Ted Cruz needs is he needs to win states that Donald Trump would win. He needs to take Maryland from Donald Trump. He needs to take Connecticut. He needs to take Delaware, West Virginia, Washington State. He needs to take states. He can't, you know, hope ain't getting it done at this point. The idea of hoping that you're going to have a contested convention. Donald Trump, worst case scenario for him at this stage, where he only needs now 57% of the remaining delegates. If he wins Maryland, which he's now 20 points ahead in, if he wins Delaware, if he wins Pennsylvania, that number drops precipitously to the point that after next week's contest, he's looking at needing only 40% of the remaining delegates. That's the math. That's the number. So, you know, if you're Ted Cruz, what you're now looking at is what states can I take from Donald Trump that he's now slated to win or where he's currently ahead? If you can't answer that question, hope ain't getting you anything. It certainly ain't bringing about any change in this campaign, because it's not happening. That was my hope and change reference.
I see what you did there.
That.
Yeah, that was
perfect.
That was really.
Thank
that
you.
Was,
I was just in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to, you know, because I know you guys relate to that hope and change thing.
Yeah, so much better
than the rest of us.
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah, well, that worked out. That worked out great for you.
Can I ask you something though? Yeah. Why is John Kasich still running? And did the New York outcome change anything?
Yes, it did, actually. That's a very good question.
Oh, thanks.
And it did change some things. And what it changed was, now, John Kasich, not only did he come in second, he bested Ted Cruz by double digits, if I'm not mistaken, or close to it. So he is in a better position to make an argument that should we get to Cleveland and all hell breaks loose, that I'm the guy to go to. He's still making the running argument that when you look at this whole thing, at the end of the day, it's all about who can beat Hillary. Poll after poll after poll after poll shows he's the only one of those left standing who can do that. So having a, you know, because, you know, in this case, this is the first campaign where coming in second is like winning. The fact that he's in the second position is an opportunity for him now to continue the argument about, hey, take a look at me. I'm going to be in this thing right to the end. And his goal has always been very simple since you know, Rubio left the race, and that is just get a little piece of something.
Well,
he doesn't need a lot. He, you know, because it's all proportional except for a few states that are left that will be winner take all. So he's going to win a congressional district here or there, pick up two or three delegates, and continue to just kind of roll into it. Now, does he become the nominee? Not so likely. But, you know, there's always that VP slot.
You know what I like about New York's results last night?
Hmm.
The one place that Trump got trounced in New York?
Mm-hmm. Manhattan.
Manhattan, where they know him.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the thing. And you know what's really interesting here is that there's now such incredible tribalization that is happening in the Republican Party.
Oh my God, that, it's so disgusting.
Well, it's terrible what's happening because for Republicans and also for the nation in a lot of respects, because you need to have both parties strong and competent. It is important. And even if you sit around, you hate the other party, you have to have, there has to be, you know, there have to be adults in the room because all hell's going to break loose at some point. And there needs to be cooperation. And the tribalization that has happened is you have, even at the RNC headquarters, where Michael used to sit in the big chair there, even at the RNC headquarters, they're sitting around going, these idiots who are voting for Trump. They're now marginalizing the Trump vote, even though there's more of them than there are anybody else. They're marginalizing the Trump voters. They're hailing the Kasich voters, even though there are fewer than anybody else there. And then they are saying, well, the Cruz people, we understand them. We always have to account for the evangelicals. They're always going to be our thing. I think there's more sort of intellectual disdain occurring now amongst the Republican elites, the Republican, you know, the managers of the Republican Party, than there has ever been. And it's and people have lost a sense of, and I think that's a little bit of what, and that's that sense reverberates in the populace, and that's why you're getting the results that are coming in.
I think you're right. I think you summed it up very well. And just to put not too fine a point on it, but to really clarify the argument, you know, there's more bottom to hit, and we're not done as a party getting that space. I think the ultimate bottom for this party will be January 20th, 2017, when they're watching Hillary Clinton be sworn in as president of the United States.
I'm not because so that, sure that's true. You know what the bottom of the party is going to be? The real bottom. I'll tell you, Michael, the real bottom is when they're on January 20th, 2017, when they're watching Donald Trump being sworn in. That's going to be the moment where the party is over.
They'll be calling Michael Steele back.
That doesn't feel right. That doesn't solve their problem. That doesn't solve their problem at the end of the day. Having Donald Trump as president, it again, forestalls what will then be a different fight within the party. You're still fighting at that point. What the Hillary Clinton presidency does, we think about it this way. It has been the one galvanizing force politically for this party for the last 20 years. Whenever the woman's name is mentioned, whenever the Clinton brand is talked about, whatever relates to Clinton, it is a dog whistle for the GOP. And it is one of those things that from party elite to the, you know, the activists on the street, that's a galvanizing point. If she's president, then you have to stop and ask yourself, how did we get here? How did we allow it to happen? And what was it we said or didn't say to the American people that could have prevented it? And that means you got to understand who you're talking to now. The country will change for a long, long time, and you've got to be prepared to work with that change if you ever want to be a governing party. And, that doesn't necessarily happen with Trump. Because you'll still have the internecine battle among Republicans who won't think he's conservative, who don't think he's this, who thinks he's that. So that battle still goes on. What a Hillary Clinton presidency does is require you to focus on, okay, so how the hell do we regovern from this?
Yeah.
Because we could be locked out of this game for a generation.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
great point.
Yeah, I mean, either way.
I think it's
nuclear winter either way, but it is what it is.
You know, I don't undersell a Trump presidency either to help move the party in the direction that I've just referred to. I don't sell it short for that. It can be galvanizing that way, but I can't think of anything that's going to crystallize that reality for the GOP more than watching Hillary Clinton take the oath of office as president.
All right. In a year that was, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of fatigue with the current administration, and there always is in the second term. But this is, it seems a little peaked at the moment, and I think a lot of Republicans.
The Democrat Socialist is giving her a run for her money.
I know.
The Democrat Socialist.
I know. I know. Okay? This is my country. I love my country. I don't understand. I don't recognize it. I get up in the morning and I turn on the news and I go,
what's going on?
I'm living in a nightmare. All right. Michael, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Michael.
Hey, always a pleasure.
All right. He is my man, Michael Steele.
By the way, Trump did win the Trump Tower area and the block immediately around it, but lost the rest of Manhattan. The New York Times did a breakdown, like, block by block.
Right. Well, that's because they're afraid that they know who he's voting for.
He's watching. He's got cameras over the voting booth.